Los Angeles, 1949. The city of angels, but not all its wings are clean. Beneath the shine of neon signs and the rhythm of swing clubs, there's a darker drumbeat, one that pounds out its tune in alleys, pawn shops, and morgues. Tonight, we follow two tales, each a drop of sweat off the brow of a tired detective, each a crack in the city's mask. First, a woman brutalized, discarded, like a forgotten thing. No name, no witness, just a body left to rot in the heat, and a pair of worn-out gumshoes trying to find the face behind the monster's mask. They called it the murder and mutilation case, but the streets called it something worse. Then, 16 jobs in 16 days, jewels vanishing like smoke, and the city's upper crust rattling their gold-plated cages. The suspect? A man with smooth lies and a crooked grin. The motive? Buried under cheap cologne, pawn tickets, and a woman who knew more than she said. But before we step into that fog-drenched alley of yesteryear, I need to tip my hat. I am a bit under the weather this week, folks. The voice is cracked, the body is aching, but the stories march on. Yes, unfortunately, I caught a cold again. This time, a different strain altogether. It's the nature of my full-time job that I'm meeting and greeting lots of different people, and as a result, exposed to so many different illnesses. But I tell you what, by the end of the year, my immune system is going to be absolutely indestructible. So as a result, I won't do an outro to give my voice a bit of a chance to rest, but I will say my thank yous to my old Night D Titan, the ever spectacular Matto Star. You're the kind of support that shines even through the darkest noir, and thank you so much for the messages. I'll be responding in kind today, I promise you. To my White Tea Warlords, Leza, Maya, and Sangeetha, your strength, wit, and wicked humour keeps the sirens at bay. Thank you as well for your support. And to every one of my old grey enforcers and censure supporters, you're the reason this old microphone still crackles with tales. This is Stories Fables Ghostly Tales, where the badge is heavy and the night is long. And Justice, she's got a cold cup of tea. Rest assured, I'll be returning to horror stories like no other next week. Thank you again for your patience. Much love, and see you soon.
NBC's great parade of new shows.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
NBC brings you Dragnet.
For the next 30 minutes, transcribed in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Wednesday, January 12th. It was raining in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide. My partner's Bill Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on the way back from the morgue, and it was 11:23 p.m. when I got to room 42. Homicide.
Hi, Joe. Chief wants to see you. He's in there with Romero.
Thanks, Chandler. How's the wife?
Fine. How about your mother?
Better, thanks.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
Turn in. Sit down.
Did they post the body yet?
In the morning. Pretty messy. Strangled and mutilated.
The guy's a maniac, Skipper. The body shows it.
A murder like this, anybody's a suspect.
The coroner looked at the body. He says the weapon was a long, sharp instrument.
Found her in a hotel down on East 3rd Street. Manager's son discovered her about 7:30.
You talked to him?
It was too much for him. He passed out. Manager wasn't home. We'll check with him before midnight.
Close to it now, Joe. We better get going.
All right. The boys from the crime lab checked the room.
They're still down there. The place is a mess.
Get back as soon as you can. We're working straight through on this thing.
That's a hot shot. I'll get it.
At the Lux Hotel, room 219, corner of South Grand and Cordova. Dead body. Possible homicide. The Lux Hotel, room 219, corner of South Grand and Cordova. Dead.
What is it, Friday?
Lux Hotel, possible homicide.
Busy night.
Yeah. You coming, Ed?
Right. Let's go.
Six minutes later, Ed Backstrand, Ben, and I pulled up in front of the Lux Hotel. The manager met us at the door and led the way up a narrow stairway to the second floor. The room number was 219. We were prepared for the worst. We got it.
You're right, Romero. The guy must be a maniac.
Two hotels, two murders. The same M.O. Three of us made a brief inspection of the room at the Lux Hotel. We took a few notes on the appearance of the girl's body and a brief description. Apparently, she'd been strangled to death first, and then her body brutally mangled. Ben and I went back down to the lobby, and the manager, Mr. Ford, showed us the house book. The girl was registered together with a man, Mr. and Mrs. Philip Grant. We took the hotel register to have it checked for fingerprints and to photostat the handwriting. Ben notified the crime lab. Then we went back to the room and questioned the manager.
Mr. and Mrs. Philip Grant, that's all I know. I never saw either one of them before tonight.
When did they check in, Mr. Ford?
About 3 hours ago. That's right, about nine. Maybe a little before.
Did they register together?
Yeah, a little before nine. They came in together.
Did you let them in the room?
Yes, sir, like I always do. It's a small place here, maybe not first class, but I treat people right.
What did the man look like? Do you remember?
I think so. Kind of tall. Young, maybe 30 or so, husky fella, had a mustache.
How tall would you say, Mr. Ford?
Oh, about your height, Wade. Must have been at least 180. Seemed like a nice fella.
Would you know him if you saw him again?
I think so. People sure don't act like they look. You think it was him?
Can you think of anybody else?
Well, no. I never saw him before tonight, either one of them. I don't know anything about it.
Did you notice anything in particular about them when they came in?
Well, he didn't show it. But it looked like she'd been drinking a little. Giggling, you know.
And you didn't see this man Grant leave the hotel?
No, I didn't. I must have been checking the account books back of the desk. Guess he got by me.
Is there a back entrance to the hotel, Mr. Ford?
No, he had to come out this way, all right.
How about the fire escape?
I never thought of that. Say, I bet you cops think I'm trying to hide something.
How did you happen to find the body?
I don't know anything about it, honest. I've been running the hotel for 10 years now. Everybody knows me around here. You can ask at the bank.
All right, Mr. Ford. Now, would you mind telling us how you happened to find the body?
I don't want a lot of lousy newspaper publicity. Give the place a bad name. Can you blame me?
The newspapers won't get your name from us. All we want to know is how you happened to find the body.
Well, I told you. It's a small place here, but I like to treat people right. A couple hours after they checked in, I remembered I forgot to fill the ice water pitcher in the room. So I got some and took it up. The door was opened a little ways. It's got a bad catch on it. And the lights were on. I peeked in, and there she was. She was... Well, the guy must have been crazy.
Do you remember what time it was when you found her?
Well, just before I called the cops. About 11:30, I guess.
All right, Ford, that's all for now. When the other officers get here, show them up, will you?
Yes, sir, I sure will.
Romero?
Yes, Skipper?
Get on the phone downstairs and call the Metropolitan Division. Have them send us every available man from the reserve unit. We're going to patrol the area for the rest of the night.
Right, Chief.
Least we can do is make it hard for him. Two murders in 7 hours.
Yeah, both of them in a 3-block radius.
Same pattern. It's got to be the same guy.
All right, we got a description. What do you think?
Well, when the reserve unit shows up, have them cover this whole section of town. Pick up everybody who even comes close to that guy's description.
All right, Ed.
It's got to go fast. We can't lose a minute. 1 hour either way, it might mean another body, like this one.
9 minutes later, at 4 minutes past midnight, the men from the crime lab showed up. It started to drizzle. They went over the room in detail. They dusted everything in the room for fingerprints, the walls, the doors, the fixtures in the bathroom, the lamps, chairs, everything. They took samples of the girl's blood and her lipstick. Small pieces of flesh and human hair were found under the girl's fingernails. The nails were scraped carefully and the contents put in an envelope, marked and sealed. Ed Backstrand ordered pictures taken of the room and the girl's body from different angles. Every object in the room that could have any possible tie-in with the murder was photographed. It was raining. The rear of the hotel where the fire escape was overlooked a vacant lot. Ben had a hunch. While the lab men were at work, we left the hotel and circled around into the lot for a look at the ground directly underneath the fire escape ladder. It was raining hard now.
Must be an easier way to make a living. Mud's almost up to my knee.
Mine too. Watch your step. See any prints?
No. Wait till my wife sees these new shoes.
Put it on your expense account.
Oh, real funny.
Ben, get that light over here. Look.
Yeah. Good set of prints. Lucky that rain didn't start turning to wash them out by now.
Yeah. Hand me that cover from the trash can over there. I'll cover them. Wait a minute.
What?
Here, on the edge of the fire escape ladder.
Small hunk of cloth. Man suit?
Yeah, looks like it. Might have caught himself in that sharp corner. I got it. All right, come on, let's get back.
Yeah, out of this mud bath. Yo.
Huh?
Let me have a light.
You catch anything?
Hunk of wrapping paper in that trash can. Stains on it.
Open it up. Look. Yeah, butcher knife. We went back to the Lux Hotel, room 219. The lab men were tearing the room apart. It was 10 minutes to 1. We gave the bloodstained knife and the piece of cloth we found on the fire escape to Lieutenant Lee Jones, head of the crime lab. We told him about the footprints just below the fire escape ladder.
The knife will help us, so will the cloth. I don't know about the footprints. You say you covered them?
I tried, Lee. They still look in pretty good shape.
Maybe we can do something if the rain hasn't broken them down too bad. Bracken.
Yeah, Lieutenant?
You and Sloan get downstairs and take a look at those prints. They're good enough. Get a torch, dry them out, make a cast, right?
Okay, Lieutenant. Come on, Sloan.
That's about all I can do for you now, Ed. I think we got everything there is to get.
All right, Jones. I'll follow you back to the lab in a couple of minutes.
Okay, Ed.
Good luck, fellas.
Thanks, Lee. We're going to need it.
All right, Friday. Romero, it's your baby for the rest of the night.
Lee, get anything?
A few prints, a woman's purse under the bed. Don't know if it's hers or not. No identification.
You going to be at the crime lab, Ed?
All night. As soon as we find anything, I'll let you know. Yeah?
Gang of cops just came in the lobby. They asked for you.
Must be the reserve men from Metropolitan. Tell them we'll be right down, Ford.
Okay.
You want us to handle it, Ed?
That's right. Do just as I told you. Spread them out over the whole area. Cover the streets, the alleys, the flop houses, restaurants, bars, everything. You got a description to go on. Find the man that fits it.
Right, Skip.
Don't forget, the guy's a killer twice over. I don't think he'd hesitate on you. Be careful.
We went down to the lobby and Ed Backstrand gave the reserve men their orders. Then Backstrand left and Ben and I took over. We picked up another half dozen men in addition to the men in the reserve unit. They were deployed over an area of a dozen square blocks. It was one of the toughest sections of the city. With a general description of the suspect, some of them were to travel on foot, some in cruiser cars. A few minutes before 1 a.m., there was a steady downpour. Visibility was bad. At 1:03, the manhunt was on. For the first 30 minutes, Ben and I cruised the general area between East 3rd and College Streets and Alameda and Figueroa. No sign. The rain kept on. We sat and listened to the calls come in.
12A, call your station. 12A, KMA 367. Attention, all units. Recovered license plate in the sixth column. 4 Young, 7690.
41R, 788 Standard Avenue, at 373. 41R, KMA 367. Unit 71, at 2816 West Las Vienegas, the 507 party.
What do you think, Joe? Any hunches?
I think he's still around, somewhere inside these 12 blocks. I bet on it.
Five?
All right, you're on.
Want to check out a couple of these bars along here? Getting on to closing time.
It's a good idea. Pull over, huh? All right, let's check them for the next couple of blocks, huh?
Right.
For the next 6 blocks until closing time, Ben and I checked every bar and every informant we met along the way. The questions got to be automatic. Have you seen a man answering this description? Tall, dark, of about 5 feet 11, 180 pounds, well-built, mustache, about 30 years old. The answer's got to be automatic, too.
Sorry, officer, I haven't seen him.
No, can't remember him. Try the place down the street.
We kept on checking the bars until they closed for the night. Then we started on the all-night restaurants and coffee counters. We did plenty of legwork for the next hour. Not a trace. About 2:30, the rain let up a little, and then it started in heavy all over again.
That finishes that block.
Yeah, I better get the radio on.
Yeah. Beautiful weather.
By the bucketful. Want a smoke?
Thank you.
Control 4, unit 80K.
Is
your
that
location, please?
Yeah.
80K, your location. KMA 367.
That's us, Joe. You want to take it?
Yeah, I got it. 80K to Control 4. 80K to Control 4. Our location, corner of Alameda and Commercial. KMA 367.
80K, stand by.
Something's going.
Maybe. No, hold on a minute.
Control 4 to 80K. Go to the crime lab, code 2.
80K to Control 4, KMA 367.
Crime lab? Maybe those prints paid off.
Well, I hope so. Let's go.
That killer sure picked fine weather to work in. Feels like I've just been swimming in these clothes.
Yeah, I hope those guys in the crime lab have the heater on.
A hot bath and a warm bed lead me on.
Attention, all units.
Hold it. Let's get the radio.
Attention, all units. At 420 St. John's Place, a woman screaming. At 420 St. John's Place, a woman...
All right, double around, Ben. Hit the siren. I'll get the light.
Right, hold on. Let's turn on the mark, is that right?
Yeah, watch out for those car tracks. They're wet.
Hold on again.
The alley up ahead to your right, huh? All right, pull up, Ben. Street light over there. All right, come on. Let's go.
Officer! Officer, over here!
All right, what happened? Let's have it.
Rita, she was coming home, up the street. A man, he tried to grab her. He slashed her coat. Look at her. I saw him as he ran under the streetlight.
Where'd he go?
Down that way, down the alley, over that fence there. A big man.
Davis, Davis, you there?
Yeah, Joe.
All right, Ben, go with Davis. Circle behind the alley. See what you can find. I'll call in.
All right, come on, Dave.
Yeah.
Officer, look at her face. What's wrong with her?
Severe state of shock, it looks like. Get her in the house, huh? I'll call an ambulance. 80K to Control 4. 80K to Control 4.
Control 4, go ahead.
Direct all units in the vicinity to converge on area around St. John's Place from Jackson to Banning Street. A woman attacked by a large man with knife. Suspect left scene on foot. Possibly still in area. Request ambulance. KMA 367.
80K, roger. Stand by. Attention, all units. Attention, all units. Converge on area around St. John's Place, Jackson to Banning Street. 80K reports woman attacked by a large man with knife. Suspect missing on foot.
In 3 minutes, the area around St. John's Place was surrounded. For the next hour, the men combed the neighborhood back and forth. Every building, every storehouse in the two square blocks was searched from basement to attic. No trace. The girl, Rita, was hysterical. She could give us only a bare description of her attacker. At 3:45 a.m., a detail was assigned to patrol the area, and the rest of the cars and men were deployed again in the general area from Figueroa to Alameda Street and East 3rd to College Street. The manhunt went on. So did the rain. At 3:54, Ben and I checked in at the Old City Jail building, second floor, the crime lab. Chief Ed Backstrand and Lee Jones were waiting for us.
Heard about the call. How'd he get away?
Not sure it was him, Skipper.
How do you mean?
Well, the girl wasn't hurt bad for one thing. No attempted strangling. For another thing, the guy stole her purse. That doesn't sound like the man we're after.
Did you get a description from the girl?
Didn't jibe too well, what she gave us. She was pretty hysterical.
And you raked the neighborhood good?
Every corner. Not a sign. You find anything?
Yeah. Jones?
Yeah, Ed.
Fill him in, will you?
Not one print on that knife you found, boys. Blood, but not a print. Your killer's crazy like a fox.
And how about the scrapings from the girl's fingernails, Lee?
Didn't help too much, really do. Not enough to go on. Gotta have a fair-sized bit of flesh to run it for papal ridges. All we found under the girl's fingernails were small bits of skin.
Yeah?
She probably scratched the guy up some. Might have drawn blood. He had more luck with the footprints.
You get an impression?
Dried out the ground with torches and cast them. About size 10B.
That's fine, Lee. But how about the prints?
Only good one was a thumb. Real good. Got it off the wall near the light switch in the bathroom.
You classified yet?
Yep. Found it in our single fingerprint file. The print belongs to a man by the name of Long. Robert Long.
You got a record, Ed?
Yeah. Misdemeanor. Two arrests for drunkenness last October. Petty theft in December. The mama sheet shows a dishonorable discharge from the United States Coast Guard in 1946. Age 29, 192 pounds, 5 feet 10 inches, dark hair, dark eyes.
That's close enough.
We got even closer, Joe. Long works as a counterman at the Cottage Cafe down on South Flower. Started there last week on the early morning shift, but he didn't show up for work last night.
Good. Where'd you get the tip?
The knife you boys found. It didn't have any prints, but it had a brand on it. We ran it down. It was taken from the Cottage Cafe.
Mm-hmm. Any address on this Robert Long, Ed?
Yeah, got it from his boss. Rooming house on East First. Landlady says he hasn't been home in two nights.
Yeah, now we wait.
Rooming house is staked out, and so is the Cottage Cafe, just in case Long decides to show up for work this morning. What time you got, Romero?
6 minutes past 4.
All right. We've got every indication that Robert Long's the man we're after. His description, fingerprints, the knife, the footprint, his size. Maybe we're wrong. I don't think so.
How about a motive, Ed?
I think Robert Long likes to kill. He's thirsty for it. None of the victims were criminally attacked. They were strangled. Bodies mutilated.
How about robbery?
No. Two of the women he killed had money in their purses. He didn't touch it.
Well, what's next, Skipper? Back on the street?
Figueroa to Alameda. He's third to College Street. Keep a net around that area and work it back and forth until we're positive he's not inside. I think he is.
At 4:10 a.m., Ed Baxter and Ben and I left the crime lab and drove to the surrounded area. It was still raining. We passed several patrolmen from the reserve unit making the rounds. They didn't look any more comfortable than we felt. At Broadway and Alpine Street, Ben and I got out and started patrolling on foot again. Backstrand followed in the car to maintain a radio check. We must have covered 24 blocks and a half a dozen coffee counters before we got to the Criterion Restaurant and Donut Shop, a few blocks up the street from the Cottage Cafe.
Hey, Skipper, you want to take a minute for some hot coffee? I'll keep an ear on the radio.
You two go ahead. You look drenched.
Well, we are. Can we bring you some back in a paper carton?
Fine, thanks. Cream. No sugar.
All right, Ed. Come on, Ben.
Place is empty.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, gentlemen. What'll it be? Hot coffee?
Yeah, there's two of us here. Can you fix up one to go?
Sure thing.
Say, on that one to go, cream, no sugar.
Right. Hey, you fellas cops?
Yeah, why?
No offense, just wondering. Here you are.
Thank you.
Cop in uniform was around a couple hours ago. Wanted to know if I'd seen some guy he was looking for.
Tall, about 190 pounds, mustache, about 30 years old.
Yeah, that's the description he gave me. He was looking for the guy.
So are we.
Say, that's good. That other cop came in right at my busiest time, a little after 2 when the bar's closed. You know, it gets pretty rushed and I didn't have much time to think, so I just said no. Then after the cop left, I remembered.
You saw a man answering that description tonight?
Yeah. I would have told the cop, but I was rushed. You know how it is. No time to think. And then I remembered.
Are you sure?
Oh, I'm sure, all right. Whoever he is, he's a lady killer.
What do you mean?
No offense. There was a sharp-looking dame down the end of the counter, and this guy breezes in and picks her up. Talks to her about 20 minutes, buys her a cup of coffee, and they walk out together.
You remember what she looked like?
Oh, nice-looking dame. Not beautiful, you know. More on the cute side.
Ben, you got that morgue shot?
Yeah. Here it is.
Thanks. Here's a picture. This the girl?
Let's see. Yeah, that's her. Who is she?
I don't know, mister. Down at the morgue, they call her Jane Doe, number 7. Just by accident, we'd come across a concrete lead on the killer's method of operation. The picture we showed the man in the donut shop was a shot of the strangler's first victim the night before. Evidently, the killer would enter a bar, coffee shop, or restaurant, strike up a conversation with a woman, make friends with her, either buy her drinks or invite her to a bar in the neighborhood, and then the rest of the puzzle was still unsolved. We went back to the Cottage Cafe and checked with the men on stakeout.
Not a sign of them, Chief.
How are you men covering the place?
Baxter up in front in the booth across from the cash register. Lyman's back with the dishwashers. I'm at the counter.
When's Long due to report for work, Dave?
At 5. About 20 minutes to go.
You're lucky you're inside. It's wet out there.
You're looking.
All right, Davis. We'll be around about 5.
Right, Chief.
Let's get back in the car.
work too, Skipper.
Here's the next two blocks, but don't go too far. If Long shows up for work this morning, we want to be around.
The next 10 minutes dragged by. The rain kept on. Backstrand chewed nervously on a cigar. At South Flower and First Street, the sewers were clogged with street refuse. The rain backed up and filled the intersection. A group of aircraft workers huddled together in the doorway on one corner, waiting for the bus. It was cold and damp. I opened one of the back windows in the car to get some fresh air in. Off in the distance and close by, we could hear the sounds of a big city waking up slow to a rainy January morning. It was 8 minutes to five.
Attention, all units. Attention, all units. At 780 East Main, a restaurant. Man answering description of murder suspect.
All right, Romero, step
at
on it.
Right, Skipper.
About 10 blocks away, Ed. Who's going to cover the men at the cottage cafe?
If this is a blind lead, it won't take us long to find out. They can handle it alone if they have to.
Hang on. Look out. We're skidding.
That was a close one, Ben.
Yeah. If this is the guy, I owe you $5, right?
Yeah.
Attention all units. Additional information on your call to 780 East Main. Officers in pursuit of suspect. Suspect is on foot.
Step on it, Romero.
Two more blocks, Skipper.
Watch it, Ben. Next one to the left.
Got it.
That's the joint up ahead there.
All right, watch your step and don't take chances. Don't play with it.
Right.
Here we go.
He went out the back. Ran down that alley.
Come on, Ben.
Behind you.
You men, hustle. Circle around the block and choke out the alley. There. Evans, it's home. Go with him. Right.
All right, over the fence, Ben. Ben, look out, look out. All right.
It's not that good. Come on, Jim.
All right.
All right, Ghost. Between the buildings.
Stop or I'll shoot.
The next house. He ducked into the basement.
All right, cover me.
Right.
Come on, he broke through the garage doors.
There's Davis.
Dave, he slipped through. Get down to the next corner and ring the block.
Yeah.
Ben, did you follow him?
Right on his tail, that warehouse, a couple lots over. He went through the back. There it is, Joe.
All right, don't go in blind. Watch out. All right, you haven't got a chance. Come out with your hands up.
He's not stopping, Joe.
All right, let's fan out. All right, Ben, cover me. I'm going for the door. All right, Ben, come on. You're clear. You spot him? There he is. Let's get him.
Close. He's in a good spot. Let's move.
He's up in the lot. Come on, let's head for the stairs.
Will you?
Easy. You spot him, Ben?
No. Not a sign.
Ben, look out. That's packing tape.
Kind of close, huh, Joe?
Yeah. Let's get that punk now. Now,
Joe, there's another one.
All right, you. We got the warehouse surrounded. Come on down. All right, then we'll blast you out.
Joe, he's dropping down the ladder. He's going for the front door.
They're waiting for you with Tommy guns out there. They'll cut you down. Stop.
Joe, he's got the door open. He's making a break for it.
Crazy. He's trying to shoot his way out.
Well, he asked for it.
Yeah. Let's take a look.
Messed up. Well, like his girlfriends.
Yeah. Maybe he just didn't like women.
Maybe. Hi, Ed.
You all right?
Tired.
This is him, huh? Even the scratches that girl made on his face. Description match?
5'10", 192 pounds, dark hair, dark eyes, age 29. Robert Long. Killer.
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
In cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case transcribed from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
It was Tuesday, June 17th. It was warm in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of burglary. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Ed Backstrand, chief of detectives. My name's Friday. I was on the way into work that morning, and it was 7:53 a.m. when I got to room 45, burglary detail.
Hi, Joe.
How are you, Walker?
Gonna be a scorcher out today.
Yeah, just like yesterday. Ben in yet?
I think he's over in communications picking up the mail.
Oh, thanks.
You guys been busy?
Kinda. Jewel thefts.
Anything big?
No big hauls, but he's consistent. 16 nights in a row.
Same guy?
Think so. Same M.O.
Yeah, everybody's got troubles. Gotta check some records. See you later, Joe.
Okay, Willie. Burglary Friday. Yeah. Okay, Mike, soon as Ben gets back. He's picking up the mail. Right, bye.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, Ben. Hannon just called. Chief wants to see us.
Take a look at these first.
What do you got, overnight reports?
Yeah, these two.
Two of them. Three diamond rings, one sapphire, one necklace, jade. Big haul.
Look at the other one.
Lady's watch, diamond band, emerald bracelet, tourmaline brooch. What's tourmaline, Ben?
I don't know. Must be valuable. It's gone.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Owner left house about 9 p.m., returned about 1:30 a.m., found property gone, scratches on the door.
Probably using the cellophane method. Hasn't missed yet.
Two in one night. Now he's picking up his pace.
Must have a bag full of loot somewhere, whoever it is. You get the description sheet from pawn shop detail?
Yeah, I got them right here. You take half of them. Let's see what luck we got this morning. Nothing so far.
Me neither. I'll get it, Joe. Burglar Romero.
Hi, Ben. Chief still wants to talk to you, boys. He's got an appointment at 8:30. Wants to see you before you leave.
Okay, Mike. Just checking some buy sheets. Be right in.
Better make it fast. He's in a bad mood this morning.
Okay, Mike. Thank you.
Backstrand again?
Yeah, he's in a bad mood. Come on. Wonder what's bothering him.
Something's bad. He doesn't blow very often.
Chief of Detective's Office, Hannon. Go ahead in, boys. He's waiting.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, ma'am. I'll connect you.
Friday, Romero, sit down. Wait till I get the phone. Backstrand. Oh, yes, Mrs. Winthrop. Yes, ma'am. We're doing all we can. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, I'll do that. Yes, ma'am. Goodbye.
Got trouble, Ed?
Taxpayer. Mrs. Winthrop. You two ought to remember the name.
We do, Skip.
10 days ago, somebody lifted $2,000 worth of diamonds from her bedroom while she was at the symphony. Last night, she was hit again. A diamond watch, an emerald bracelet, and some kind of a brooch.
Tourmaline.
I don't care what kind it was. It's gone. What's the pitch?
We just read a report a couple of minutes ago, Skipper. Could be a time with those other 16 jobs.
16 jobs in 16 days. You haven't got a lead on the thief yet?
Nothing shows up. No prints, nothing.
What about the pawn shops?
Nobody's tried to soak any hot stuff as far as we know. We double-checked the detail. We got every hock shop in town on the alert.
Whoever it is, they've got to try to pawn the stuff sometime. Unless they're going to give diamond rings for Christmas presents.
They haven't tried the pawn shop yet, Skipper. We sure are there.
Look, 16 burglaries in 16 days. Jewels and watches. Good ones. Well, it's got to stop. It's got to stop soon, you understand?
We'll stay right on top of it, Ed. We're doing all we can.
For 2 weeks, I've had half a dozen women calling me every day. Society women. Some of them figure they should get extra treatment.
They're only DR numbers to us, Skipper. They all get the same attention.
Try and explain that to some of them. They think you're in on the racket. Maybe you boys would like to take these calls some morning.
No, thanks, Ed.
All right, then, let's get some action. Keep the pawn shop operators on their toes and get after every known fence in town. That's all. I've got an appointment.
All right, Ed. Check you later.
Holding a call for you, Ben.
Thank you. Hello. Oh, hi, Mike. What? Well, hold it. Be right down. First break, Joe.
What do you got?
Necklace and a watch. Both of them on the stolen property list.
Where?
Henry's pawn shop. 5th and Main.
6 minutes later, at 8:25 a.m., Ben and I drove up in front of Henry's Square Deal Pawn Shop. Quick cash. No red tape. Watches bought and sold. The proprietor was Max Murphy, an old friend of Ben's.
Well, pal, of all days, it had to happen yesterday. Took the day off and went fishing up at Big Bear.
I left my nephew in charge, Harry. A real knothead, that kid.
How do you mean, Max?
Joe, if I told him once, I told him 101. Whatever you do, whatever they come in with to Hawk, check it with the list. Check it with the stolen property list. What does he do?
He forgot.
He forgot. Oh, a real knothead, that boy.
How old is he, Max?
32. A real knothead. I checked the slips from yesterday. Then I checked the stolen property list. There it is. Hot stuff.
When did the stuff come in, Max, do you know?
About 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
Can you look at it?
Oh, sure. Back here behind the car. There it is.
Did you check out the serial numbers on the watch yet, man?
When I found out, yes. They matched to a T.
All right, let's see. Yeah. Description on this necklace matches, too. Let's have a look at your buy book, huh, Max?
Yes, sir, Joe. Here you are. There's a deal right there.
Here?
Yeah, that's him. That's how he gave his name.
Walter Tracy, 132 and a half Blackstone Court, Los Angeles.
Let me check the book for the description, man.
Oh, sure. Yeah, here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Max, thanks. We'll be checking with you later.
Sure, Joe. Anytime. Sorry.
All right, Max. See you later.
You fellas take it easy.
Right. I want to check and see if we're clear, Joe?
Yeah, I will. 80K to Control 1. 80K to Control 1. Are we clear?
Control 1 to 80K. Stand by.
Good lead, Joe. Got a description in here.
Yeah. It's too bad Max's nephew had a slip-up.
Control 1 to 80K. Call your office immediately. Call your office immediately.
I wonder what that's about.
I don't know. I'll call in.
You got some change?
I'll use Max's phone. Use your phone a minute, Max.
Oh, you bet. Sure, help yourself.
Thank you.
City Hall.
2524.
2524. Burglary, Levine.
This is Ben, George. You got something?
Hot one. Universal Loan Shop, 6th and Barton Place. Guy just took in a couple of rings. He checked too late.
What you mean?
He checked the form after the guy left. It was signed Walter Tracy.
There they are, Sergeant. Both rings. Fine quality diamonds.
Don't you usually check your stolen goods list before you take in stuff like this?
Usually, yes. Last night, no. I don't know what I was thinking about.
Can we have a look at your buy book?
Right here. There it is. Walter Tracy. 699 Olive Street. 145 pounds, 5'9", dark hair, build, thin.
We'll have to slap a hold on these rings.
I know, I should have thought.
Can you think of anything else that might help us to identify the man?
Well, no. Had a light suit on. Nice cut. Very well dressed.
Thank you, that's all for now. Here's a card.
If the guy happens to drop back, give us a call, will you?
Sure will, Sergeant. Say.
Yeah?
I've got some nice watch bands. Yours look gold. Can I interest you?
No, thanks. Some other time. Come on, Ben. That afternoon and the following morning, despite our alert and our warnings, two more pawn shops called in with reports of stolen watches taken in. We checked them out. The serial numbers on the watches matched those on the stolen property list. On the pawn shop account books, the loan was listed under the name Walter Tracy. The addresses were given as number 12 St. Vincent Place and 700 East Flower. The descriptions of the man were the same. Slight build, well-dressed, about 145 pounds, 5 feet 9 inches tall, dark wavy hair. We had the name and description distributed to every pawn shop in Los Angeles and surrounding communities. Through our informants, we checked up on every known fence in the city. For the next two nights, we received no reports of stolen jewels. That made up for the double burglary the night before. On June 19th, the box score read 18 successive nights, 18 successive jewel burglaries. At 3:25 in the afternoon, Ben and I sat down to check over the late incoming report.
Got anything, Joe?
Not yet, no.
Nothing here. Maybe the guys left town.
Nope. No such luck. Take a look.
That's it, number 19. He may set a record.
Well, he's making monkeys out of us, isn't he? Look, man's watch, lady's watch, Chinese amber necklace, diamond shirt studs, and a bracelet with two large rubies.
He's getting ambitious. How's the value listing?
I see. $1,800. One haul. I'll get it. Burglary Friday. Yeah. Yeah. Be right down. Stall him. Let's go, Ben.
Where?
Kaplan's down on East 2nd. Walter Tracy's in there now, trying to hock a gold watch. Ben, cover the door. I'll get to look like I'm shopping around.
Right, but watch your step. We don't know this guy.
Yeah, stay close to the door, huh?
I'm sorry, that's the best we can do on the watch.
Look, Mac, this is gold. 21 jewels.
Well, that's the best I can do.
Drop dead.
Well, that's the best I can do. Don't get sore.
Yeah, sure. See you later.
That's him, Sergeant. Walter Tracy. I stole him as long as I could.
All right, I'll check back with you later. Did you spot the guy that just came out?
Yeah, I went up the street.
Let's follow him. Hustle it. You spot him, Ben?
Straight ahead, about 15 yards. He's crossing the street.
Yeah, let's get up a little closer.
We're losing, sure, if the light changes.
Come on, run for it. Watch the traffic light. Yeah.
That was close.
He might have spotted us. It's going faster.
Come on, Joe, run.
Yeah. Don't lose him.
Crowd's not helping.
Hey, wait a minute. I bet you're a cop. You're chasing somebody.
All right, let go of my arm, mister. Let go.
Well, you don't have to get tough. Lousy cops think they own the street. I'm going to write the mayor's office.
Come on, Joe. He's running for it.
Yeah, I see him. Watch the signal up ahead.
Hurry, Joe. Almost up to him.
Into the parking lot.
Hey, you. Stop.
Look out, Joe. A gun.
Yeah, I see. All right. Get away.
All
get
right,
away.
Smart guy.
Nice job.
Yeah. He's too fast for an honest man. Let's take him in. When we got back to headquarters, Walter Tracy was under technical arrest. We took him directly to the interrogation room. We searched him thoroughly. We had him take everything out of his pockets and put it on the table. Then we had him take all the money he had in his wallet, count it out, and hold it in his hand.
What is all this routine?
That's all the money you have on you? $47.17, right?
Yeah.
Okay, keep it in your hand. Ben, shake him down.
All right, Tracy, take off your coat, shirt, tie, and shoes and stuff.
What kind of a pitch is this? I'm no hood.
Take them all.
Two big cops. You're not pinning anything on me. I don't care what you do.
Sleeves, pockets, lining. Nothing in the coat, Joe.
Get his shirt.
Take it light with the threads, huh? Costs money.
How about the trousers, Ben?
Let's see. Cuffs, pockets. No. Let me get the belt.
Zipper on the inside of the belt?
No, it's clean. Shoes are okay. All right, Tracy, let's see the soles of your feet.
I hope you don't mind. They're dirty.
Why don't you take a shower? Let's see. All right, Joe, nothing. Put your toes back on.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, you. What's your name?
Huh?
I said, what's your name?
You telling jokes? Walter Tracy, you know that.
Your real name.
How old are you, Tracy?
27.
Where do you live?
No place. Just got in town a couple of days ago.
Where are you from?
Salina, Kansas.
Where you been sleeping the last two nights?
The park. Pershing Square.
Clothes don't show it. Pretty natty.
I had them pressed.
Where?
Down by the square. I don't remember.
You ever been arrested before?
No.
Where'd you get this gun, Tracy, the one you pulled on us?
I didn't know who you were. Could have been a couple of hoods. You kind of look like it.
Where'd you get the gun?
I won it in a crap game coming out on the train.
Where'd you get the watch?
Graduation present.
You want to run a make on him, Joe? The gun and the watch?
Yeah, I'll call him.
Go on, check. You can't prove a thing.
Pawn shop records, Gilmore.
Gil, this is Friday. Can you give me a make on a watch?
Sure, Joe. Go ahead.
Time Master, yellow gold, man's wristwatch. Case number 716F23.
Right.
Movement number B351708.
Got it.
Okay. Now give me a make on this gun, huh? 32 S&W automatic. Serial number 579461.
Okay.
Call me back?
Right. What's your station number?
2572.
I'll ring you, Joe.
Thanks.
Having fun?
What'd you do with all those jewels you stole?
When do I get out of here?
I don't think you're going to get out.
You got nothing on me.
How tall are you, Tracy?
Get your tape measure. 5'9".
How much you weigh?
140. I'm 27. My name's Walter Tracy. I come from Salina. I've been in town 2 days, and I don't know what you guys are talking about.
You sound smart. You don't act it.
And you're flying blind, copper.
What'd you do with those jewels you stole?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What color are your eyes?
I don't know. I'm colorblind.
What color would you say your hair is?
You colorblind, too?
You ever been arrested before?
Straighten out. He asked me that.
I'm asking you.
No.
You ever done any big time?
No.
All right, I don't care if you're level with us or not. We're going to make you on those prowl jobs, all 19 of them.
Sure, sure. You guys are smart.
You got in Los Angeles 2 days ago, is that right?
Yeah.
You don't know anything about any jewel theft.
That's what I said.
And how come your name and your handwriting's on the account books in 4 pawn shops in Los Angeles?
It's not mine. You can't prove it.
We can, Tracy. Come clean. What'd you do with the stuff you stole from 1250 Moraga Drive, June 5th?
I didn't steal any stuff.
What'd you do with the rings and watches you took from 1400 Placerville Road, June 9th?
I wasn't in town.
What'd you do with the diamond dress pins you stole June 13th, 123 South Van Ness?
Did I do that?
You're not only kinky, you're a bad liar.
You prove it.
Porter, get your sawbuck, your prints bounced, Tracy.
Our handwriting man's gonna work on those signatures of yours. You haven't got a chance now. Come on, where'd you hide this stuff?
You can't prove a thing.
Where'd you say you've been sleeping the last 2 nights?
In the park, Pershing Square. You want a map?
Clothes sure look nice.
I said I had them pressed.
But you can't remember where.
No, I can't remember where. That a crime?
Friday, something.
Joe, this is Gilmore. Here's the stuff you asked for.
Let's have it, Joe.
No make on the watch, no make on the gun.
Okay, Joe, thanks a lot.
Yeah.
You're in up your neck.
You said that, didn't you?
You're gonna talk, Drayson.
Kinda tired.
All right, we'll let you sleep on it. Come on, Ben, let's book him.
All right. I'll get your jobs, coppers.
Sure. Come on. We took Walter Tracy to the county jail and had him booked on suspicion of burglary. He was still sullen. We knew we had the guilty man. Now we had to prove it. As it often happens, the victims never see the burglar. They only know he's been there. They can't identify him, but they can identify their property. Our job was to find the property. When we did, we'd have Walter Tracy. And the 19 victims would have their property returned. But Tracy wasn't talking. We knew he'd never talk unless he thought it might help him. We took the problem to Ed Backstrand.
Smart punk, Skipper, but he's done time before.
How do you know?
Tried him out last night when we brought him in. He talks like it and he acts like it.
But he won't cop out. Are you sure?
He won't talk in 100 years. He knows he's got us in the spot.
And one thing's sure. We're not going to send him up without finding the loot first. He's planted the stuff somewhere in the city. We've got to find it.
Ben and I have got an idea, Ed. It's not going to be easy, but it might work.
What is it?
Tracy tried to soak some of the stolen property at 4 separate pawn shops in the downtown area.
Yeah?
At each one of those 4 pawn shops, he gave a local address. Now, we're sure he must have a room or an apartment someplace in town.
All right. Where?
That's where guesswork comes in, Skipper. Every one of those addresses he gave falls within a certain area.
How big an area?
You've got that street diagram, Joe?
Yeah. Here it is, Ed. From Figueroa here, to San Pedro, and from Pico down to First Street. The area's about 12 blocks wide, 14 blocks long.
Mm, that's a lot of territory. How are you going to cover it?
On foot. We'll take Tracy with us.
Plenty of legwork. You sure it's the answer?
We've got to find the stuff, and it's the only way we can figure it.
Hotels, apartments, rooming houses. There must be hundreds of places you can stay in that territory. It'll take a couple of weeks.
Yeah, on foot it will.
All right. It's tough, but it's your idea. Go to it.
An hour after we left Chief Backstrand, we got Tracy out of his cell in the county jail and started our canvass of the appointed area. We took the usual precautions and handcuffed Tracy's wrists to our own. We started the search for his hideout at First Street and Figueroa. It was a warm day in Los Angeles. The temperature was 91. After the first 3 hours, I could tell Ben's feet were ready to give out, and so were mine. We couldn't even have the comfort of complaining. That had encouraged Tracy, and he was cocky enough already. He cursed and threatened every step of the way.
My legs off. All right, quit pulling, will you?
Come on, Tracy, up the stairs. Another one to check.
Warm day, Joe.
Yeah, a little. What do you mean, a little? Must be 110.
Yes? What is it?
You're the manager?
Yes.
Could you tell me which apartment this man has in your house, ma'am?
Who, him?
Yes, ma'am, this one.
Never saw him before. He don't live here.
All right, ma'am. Thank you.
Yeah. Hot, ain't it?
When are you going to get wise?
Come on, Tracy.
Now, that finishes this side of the street. You want to cross over, Joe?
Yeah. Let's go.
I'm hungry. I want to eat.
After we cover the other side of the street.
You can't do this to me. I'm going to get a lawyer. I'll have your jobs, both of you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on. We only got a couple of 100 places to cover.
Hi, gents. What can I do for you?
You the manager?
I run the place, yeah.
Which room does this man have in your place?
Him? You made a mistake. He doesn't live here.
All right, thanks.
My feet are killing me. Wait till I get a lawyer. I'll burn both of you, dumb cop. What do you think you're doing anyway?
All that day and the day after that and the day after that, Ben and I, with Tracy handcuffed to our wrists, canvassed the designated areas from hotel to hotel, from rooming house to rooming house, and the apartments, too. Every day our feet ached a little more, our pace slowed down, Tracy got more irritable, and the weather got hotter. The second day it reached a high of 92, the third day 94, the fourth day 94. Police regulations say plainclothes officers must wear a coat and necktie on the street at all times. We wore our coats and neckties. The search continued into the fifth day. Our pace got even slower. Ben and I started to lose heart. After a while, we forgot our object was to recover the stolen jewels. All we wanted was to find Tracy's hideout. We knew we were right. We knew Tracy was our man. It was a point of pride. Whether your feet hurt or not, you don't give in to a thief.
Yes? What do you want?
You're the landlady here.
I am.
Which apartment does this man have in the building?
Well, none of them. He's not one of my tenants.
Thank you, ma'am. Come on, Tracy.
By the sixth day, all three of us had special pads in our shoes. Our feet ached worse than ever. Tracy let us know about his every 3 minutes. By late afternoon of the sixth day, we'd covered more than half of the designated area. The temperature was 95.
You guys gonna go on forever? I'm sweating like a horse.
I'm getting tired of your moaning.
That looks like the manager behind the desk.
Yes, sir?
You're the manager?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
Can you tell us which room this man has in the hotel?
Him? Mm-hmm. He doesn't live here. Hey, you fellas look awfully warm. Like to cool off in the lobby? We're air conditioned.
No, thanks.
I'm hungry. When do we eat?
You're always hungry.
You got the biggest mouth on a cop I ever saw.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I'm hungry. I want to eat. Now. Wait till I give this story to the papers. Mistreating innocent guys. They'll break you.
All right. Come on. Up the stairs.
I'm going to get a lawyer. Tonight. I'll show you.
Yes? Why, Mr. Baker, where have you been?
We questioned the landlady, a Miss Elizabeth Hutter. She told us that Baker, alias Tracy, had rented an apartment from her about 2 months before. That's all the information she could give us. Tracy clammed up. He would admit nothing. We asked Miss Hutter to accompany us as a witness. We took the elevator up to Tracy's apartment on the sixth floor. Miss Hutter, Tracy, Ben, and I.
Down this way. Here. Do you want me to open it?
Please, Miss Hutter.
There's a girl. Walter? What is it, Walter?
I told you to get out of town if I didn't come back.
I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave without you.
I thought you slept in the park.
Take a jump.
Where's the stuff hidden?
All right, Ben, handcuff him to a chair. To the girl behind him, we'll find the stuff ourselves.
All right, Tracy. All right, you're next.
I haven't done anything either, see? You can't prove it.
Billy, shut up.
Thanks, Bernie. No talking between you two. First, we'll separate you.
All right, Ben, you take the living room here. I'll try the kitchen and get a window open. It's hot in here.
All right.
Sergeant, you will be careful of the furniture.
Yes, ma'am.
I had no idea. You, Mr. Baker, of all people.
Don't talk to him, please, ma'am.
Oh, yes.
Chin cop.
Why don't you fail?
Ben, look, it's only the beginning. He's got the stuff scattered seven ways for Sunday. We're going to need help.
In the milk bottle?
Yeah, two rings, three loose diamonds, and this bottle of mayonnaise. We found some kind of a brooch in it. A couple of watches taped to the underside of the kitchen sink.
All right, you. Convinced?
Okay, Ben. Call back, Strand. There was a definite possibility that Walter Baker, alias Tracy, had stored some of his stolen loot outside his apartment. We stood little chance of ever recovering it unless we got him to break. Ben called Chief Backstrand, and in 10 minutes he arrived at the apartment with another man from burglary detail, George Levine. Together we went over the four-room apartment foot by foot. We found jewelry, watches, loose stones, in every conceivable place. In cartons of cottage cheese, in jars of cold cream, in the garbage can, everywhere.
Who's your girlfriend? All right, I'll ask her. What's your name?
I said, what is your name?
Billy. Billy Crawford. He didn't do anything. He didn't.
All right, Billy. Maybe you can tell us. Where's the rest of the stuff he stole?
He didn't steal. He didn't steal anything.
Billy, shut up.
Keep quiet, you.
Ed, wait a minute.
What?
Just a minute. I want to look over here.
Papers. Taped to the underside of that top drawer.
What is it, Friday?
No, no, you can't. You can't.
Look at these.
All right. You found them. I'll talk.
No, Walter, don't.
They're all papers. He's an ex-con.
Yeah, I'll cop out.
Don't do it, Walter.
Billy, shut up. Dumb dame.
The rest of the stuff, where is it?
On the roof. Inside the ventilator, the one near the front, you'll find a couple of paper bags. That's it.
Levine?
Got it, Chief. I'll check.
Your papers say you did time in Oregon. What for?
Fell for robbery. Did 5. I own 7.
What about the girl?
Walter, I'm going with you.
Her? I don't know. You figure it.
All right, Friday. Romero, take the girl to Lincoln Heights and book her. We'll take him.
Right, Ed. Come on, Ben.
No. No, Walter, I want to go with you.
Oh, sorry, ma'am. This way out.
All right, easy, lady.
No, no, wait a minute. Just a minute. Walter?
You're a dumb dame, Billy. So long.
Walter.
All right, come on, let's go. What's the matter? You feel all right?
He lied. He said he loved me. He lied to me.
Don't feel hurt, lady. He lied to everybody.
The story you have just heard is true. Only the names were changed to protect the innocent.
Walter Baker, alias Walter Tracy, was tried and convicted on 3 counts of first-degree burglary and received the maximum sentence prescribed by law. He is now serving out his term in the state penitentiary. A hold has been placed on him by the state of Oregon, where he will serve out 7 years for violation of parole. Billy Crawford, Baker's accomplice, was tried and convicted of receiving stolen property and is now serving time in the state penitentiary for women. You have just heard the 11th in a new series of authentic cases transcribed from official police files. Technical advice for Dragnet is furnished by the Los Angeles Police Department.
Tonight's program is dedicated to Warden Clarence A. Larkin of Folsom Prison, Sacramento, who on the evening of September 24th, 1937, gave his life so that yours might be more secure.
Dragnet came to you from Los Angeles. If you enjoyed tonight's production of Dragnet, you'll want to listen this Saturday evening to a pair of adventure shows featuring 2 well-known Hollywood personalities. You'll enjoy Brian Donlevy, star of Dangerous Assignment. Also on Saturday's schedule is Richard Diamond, private detective, as played by the screen's romantic tough guy, Dick Powell. Listen to both of these exciting programs this Saturday over most of these same NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Truth caught up in a pawn shop.
Thank you.